Are the exams helpful? Yes, absolutely. But there's nothing like doing counseling and then having someone else come alongside of you and ask you a series of questions about why you did what you did. Why did you assign the homework that you assigned? Why did you think that was the most important issue that needed to be discussed today? Et cetera, et cetera. And those questions really help to define the counseling process and really help you as you learn to separate the wheat from the chaff in a particular counseling session. And so I would say over the course of our week, we have a few goals that we would like to attain. One of them is we want every person here, every single one of you, to walk away with at least this, that you know how to answer every single question on the exams, theology and counseling. Now, you may not have all of the exam written 100%, but you would at least have an answer to the question of how do I answer the questions. Then we want to give you some real-time help. You saw in the schedule that part of our time will be teaching through the exams, and then part of our time will be used to actually write questions. And so tonight we have a session, and then the first thing tomorrow morning at 8:30, we have a writing session. And the purpose of that writing session is so that you can write a question, and you can even have some help on whether or not you got the gist of the question. So one of us will be around in many of these lab times for you to just say, hey, Rob, would you come over here and read this answer? And just see if that's kind of what you were thinking of and kind of the gist of the question. We're happy to help with that. We want you to walk away really believing that at minimum you have a full comprehensive strategy to get all of these exams done. Then obviously our third goal is that you would actually make significant progress on the writing of the tests. We learned from last year, we had 125 people here last year for this track, and we learned last year that when people went home, that the busyness of life, the challenges that were associated with life, suddenly crept back in, and it became a real challenge to finish the task. So what we want to have is as much of it done as possible so that you look at it and you say, I've only got six more questions. I can hammer these last six questions out this week and get these things signed in. In fact, we want to inundate Nank, don't we? Don't you want to inundate Nank? I mean, let's bury Randy Patton. He'll be in here later. You tell him I said that. We want to bury the graders over the next month. So that's our goal. A couple of questions or comments on materials. We will have both labs that we have here in our building open for you. So if you do not have a laptop, you need a flash drive. And a flash drive is one of these little things sticking right here. They're called jump drives, flash drives. Unless you're going to write the test yourself on paper, if you want to type it on a computer, the labs are available. You just need a flash drive to save it to. So I encourage you to go out to Meijer or Walmart to get one if you don't have one. Then laptops, we do have a number of charging stations floating around here, and we have room for about 40 or so laptops that can be charging at any given point. So I'd encourage you to come with them charged and then swap with your neighbor. So if each one of you says, I'll take half the time and my neighbor gets half the time, then you'll have a fully charged laptop for our whole week together. Now, if you don't have or you're not going to write things out on a laptop, that's fine. You don't have to while you're here. I think NANC requires that you actually submit an electronic copy, but you certainly don't have to do that here if you don't want to. Then the other issue on materials is I think we sent a letter encouraging you to bring a theology book. If you didn't, we have a number of them on sale down at the Resource Center. My favorite is this one, Millard Erickson's Christian Theology. But you can see, I mean, that's like a honking lot of reading right there, right? See, we're going to try to help you narrow some of this down. But this is a great resource to go to. Financers, for those that would like a little shorter version, Ryrie's Basic Theology is also a great tool to use. And then there's others like Grudem, Systematic Theology. Or if you can't tolerate the Baptist side of Millard Erickson, then Burkhoff would fit very well with a nice Reformed completely Reformed view. So your choice. Now, that brings the issue of theological diversity to the table. And I just like to just make sure we have this clear that while you are here at Faith Baptist Church, which means we're Baptists, and we are on the dispensational side of the coin, that doesn't mean we are trying to pump our theology down your throats. Instead, in fact, the exams were written by Presbyterians. So the idea here is not that our theological agenda is the most important. Instead, these exams were written from the perspective of broad evangelicalism, and the reality is a great many people can fit within that tent. So please don't hear us saying this is the way it has to be. The point is the exams are broad enough theologically to include a number of camps. And the last thing, as far as just sort of our intro time, if you have questions, I'm all open to that. So if we're just working through something and you have a question, just give me a holler and we can stop along the way. Okay, let's get to the doctrine of the Bible. You have five questions on your exam related to this. And the first thing that I would like to do is to give you the strategy for how you will answer every single question on the theology exam. So this is like these three things are worth their weight in gold right here. Here's number one. Define the terms that are used. In other words, let me ask this. Would anybody have a problem with this statement, Jesus died for your sins? Anyone have a problem with that statement? Well, somebody could be asking, well, who's saying it? Is Rob saying it? And if I'm saying it, then you probably don't have a problem with that. But what happens if the speaker is a Mormon? Does anybody now have a problem with that statement? Because what they mean by the word Jesus and what we mean by Jesus are two very different things. And so one of the things that gets challenging is you want your grader, whoever it is, to always understand what you mean by the terms that you use. And so whenever you're writing a question or whenever there's a question that has a particular term, you want to define it. And so the first thing, and we're going to like play a little game with these because we want to have these three down. Defining the terms, that's number one. The second thing is you need to state your answer. This is not a research paper where the idea is that you quote everybody under the sun. The idea is for you to state what you believe. I, as a grader, want to know what the person answering the question actually believes. So you want to say not just that Erickson says this, or that Ryrie says this, or that Burkhoff says this. It's okay to quote that as long as the very next statement is, and that's what I affirm. Does that make sense? You want to make sure that on your exam, it's very clear what you believe, not just what somebody else believes. Then third, to present the biblical evidence for your position. So now that I have defined the terminology that I'm using, now that I have explained my answer, how I am going to answer the question, then I want to provide the appropriate biblical evidence for my solution to the question. So, these three. Number one, define the terms. Number two, state your answer. And number three, present the biblical evidence. Those three things are going to drive every single question that we do on the theology exam. Now, let's go ahead and hop in with our first question. And we start with bibliology because they are the foundation for our counseling. Take a Bible out of my hand, and I really don't have a whole lot more to say. And so what Nank is trying to do with these questions is to make sure that everyone who is certified has a rock-solid view of the Bible and to ensure that they are not going to look for outside sources as the means by which they are going to do their counseling. That's the heart of the bibliology section. So the first question is, the Bible is spoken of as inspired. What does this mean? Now, if number one is define your terms,